Welcome to Stories of Briscoe and Bradshaw. I will be Bradshaw. That will be the WWE Hall of Famer, Oklahoma's favorite son, Mr. Gerald Briscoe, and he is the 2020 Ultimate Warrior Award winner. He's been called the most philanthropic guy in wrestling. I will certainly agree with that. He is a former Florida Gator standout, played in 44 games, professional football player, and former tag team champion. He is Mr. Titus O'Neil. Titus, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Titus, man, it sure is a pleasure. You know, we're neighbors, and we don't get to see each other often because you're that ambassador to WWE, and I'm a retired guy. But anyway, I recently saw you on an episode of Tanked. I got to plug your episode there. It was one of the best I've ever seen. You know, they do – these people, like, what is it, Animal Planet or Discovery Planet? What one of those?
You know, it was on Animal Planet.
Tank is a show where they come in and put these custom saltwater aquariums in your home or office. And Titus had an episode on him, and it's probably the most charismatic, most entertaining episode I've seen, because most of them are just boring football players and basketball players and guys. But Titus was a part of the show. He was entertaining. The entire show was fantastic. Man, it's right down the street from me. I got to stop in there. I'm the only thing, I'm afraid to go to a lawyer's office. I'm afraid they might have some paper for me. But if I can sneak in and take a look at that aquarium, man, I'm going to do it one day. So thanks for being on the show, man. We'd love to have you. Right in the middle of football season, your Gators are looking good. Football is looking good again in the state of Florida. Man, tell us a little bit about your upbringing, how you became a football star, and how you migrated into the sport of professional wrestling.
Well, yeah, definitely. Football was definitely not something that I was expected to do much of, or anything else for the matter, just because it's well documented that I'm a product of a sexual assault. My mother was raped at 11 years old, had me at the age of 12, driven from St. Augustine, Florida, down to Boynton Beach, Florida, to have an abortion, and jumped out of the car, and 3 months later, I was born. I've bounced from place to place. I was a kid that was labeled a kid that would be dead or in jail by the time I was 16. And I believed that for part of my young adult life. And I was introduced to football as a kid. I played down with the Delray Rocks down in Delray Beach, Florida. One of the greatest football players, really, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion, Vince Wilfork, was one of my best friends. His mother was my family counselor. She was actually our social worker, and she's the one that that made the call to the sheriff up at Palm Beach County to get me skipped ahead of the list to go to a place called the Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch. And it was that place that literally changed my life. You know, one conversation at 12 years old really turned things around for me as I was getting ready to get kicked off of the Boys Ranch because I got into too many fights. And signed a contract that I wouldn't get into another fight. And 30 minutes later, I got into a fight, and the meeting was
30 minutes.
You almost made it an hour. You're halfway there.
Tell people, you know, now that little did they know that was the beginning of my WWE career, and I was just practicing and working towards my current career. But football, you know, was an opportunity for me in high school. You know, I went to Live Oak Swanee High School, played there my freshman year. You know, Coach Mike Pittman was my high school football coach, and me and another kid from the Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch named J.W. Harding were the new kids on the block. And he ran the trap play probably about 82 times in a row, both me and J.W. And, you know, I ended up going to the hospital for dehydration and just cramped up bad too. Next day, I went to my coach's office, Coach Pittman's office, and I said, you know, I don't know if you know much about my background, but, you know, I've been through way worse than that practice yesterday. And I said, you know, before I leave here, I'll be one of the greatest football players you ever coached. And, you know, he looked at me, he had a big wad of chewing tobacco in his mouth, and he looked at me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, son, you ain't even made the team yet, you know? I said, that's not what I was saying. I said to you that I'll be one of the greatest football players that you ever coached here at this school. And, you know, 3 years later after that, number one recruit in the country, any school in the country, as a defensive lineman, and
chose
the
university. How many offers did you have, Titus, coming out?
Easily 70 something offers. You know, I bundled it down to five. My last five were Ohio State, Tennessee. I took my official visit to Ohio State, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia Tech, and Florida State. And you know, it really
wasn't no hurricanes in there.
No, they were getting ready to go on probation, you know, and just got there. And you know, I really fell in love with. I actually grew up kind of a Florida State fan, simply because at the boys' ranch we only had like a couple of channels, and they played mostly Florida State's athletics. So it was Florida State basketball, Florida State baseball, Florida State football. And then most of the people that went from my high school over, you know, to college, the majority of them went to Florida State.
Right, and Live Oak isn't that many miles away from Florida State.
Yes, it's kind of not. It's probably the same distance from Gainesville than it is Tallahassee. It's just we had so many people that went up there and were successful. Matt Fryer and Ty Fryer and you know, Eric Smith and so many other guys. It was only one other player that. You know, that I recall that actually went from my high school, and that was Gant Crouch. He was the center. And then I kind of, you know, broke that mold and pissed a lot of people off at Live Oak. But then from there, you know.
Was it Steve Spurrier's personality that sold out?
I tell people all the time, you know, I went on my official visit to Tennessee, and Peyton Manning was my host. Wow. My first night. Well, Peyton didn't make it quite, you know, through the night. And I ended up getting Leonard Little as my host for the remainder of the weekend. And, you know, at that time, Florida pretty much dominated Tennessee. And, you know, I asked a couple of players, you know, hey, how you guys, you know, going to do versus, you know, Tennessee. And Derek Chang, who ended up being one of my roommates in college and came over to Florida with me too. He was on that visit with me. And their response was, you know, hey, we're going to see what we can do. We can get them, you know. And, you know, I asked, you know, when I went to Florida on my visit, you know, Coach Spurrier asked me, you know, so how'd you like to visit with those guys in Tennessee at Rocky Top? And I was like, it was good. You know, he's like, did they say they're going to beat us? And he was like, I said, they don't see what they're gonna do, can do, you know. And he's like, oh yeah, we're gonna beat those guys, you know. And it's just he had this competitiveness about him, but it was just this confidence. Some people look at it as arrogance, but you know, for me, I'm a very competitive person. You guys are very competitive. You don't want anybody that's like, oh, you know, we're gonna see what we can. Don't play the humble route. You know what I mean? No, we're gonna beat their ass, and we're gonna win a championship. You're gonna win a lot of championships here, and you're gonna get a great education, and you know, and you're gonna have fun doing it. And Coach Spurrier is arguably one of the greatest college coaches in the history of college football. With the fun and gun offense, it was great to play for him. Won a national championship, two SEC championships under him, and he unretired jersey number 11. For me to wear, and because of my story and my backstory of how I ended up, what I had to go through to get to the University of Florida. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from high school, the first person in my family to graduate from college. My mom graduated from high school. You know, after I did, she waited tables and cleaned houses to make ends meet that I never met. And I have three younger brothers, and two of those three younger brothers also graduated from high school and also played collegiately football. One played at Middle. My youngest brother played at Middle Tennessee State as a defensive back, and my brother above him played at Eastern Michigan as a defensive end. So, you know, football kind of definitely was the route to help me be around structure and discipline and understand. I never had an issue with work. I was always a hard worker. I worked at the boys' ranch. I baled hay. I moved cows. Tossed watermelons in the summer. I did tobacco. So work was never an issue for me. It was just my attitude at the time. And it's because a lot of people had told me what I can't do. I'd never graduate from high school. I'd never go to college. I'm too uncoordinated. course, the list went on and on. And that fueled me, you know. And I went from being that underperforming student to being that high academic scholar and also high athletic, you know, achiever. And I get a chance now to watch my kids, you know, follow their dreams in athletics. You know, my oldest son, TJ, is a freshman at the University of Central Florida playing football there. My youngest son is a junior, defensive end, is being heavily recruited. And I recently adopted a daughter last year, and she's a basketball player, one of the top basketball players that I am in the state of Florida. And to see their work ethic, see how they follow their dreams and their goals, but more importantly, how they are as human beings. And the reason why I'm in a position that I'm today is not because I was the most athletic, you know. Clearly, I've had my slip-ups on occasion and throughout life, both in the field of play, but also in the field of life. But, you know, I just, you know, I feel like, you know, being a good human being and being surrounded by a good amount of, a great amount of human, great human beings, whether they're teammates, coaches, mentors, etc., has allowed me to see life for what it truly is. It is a blessing. You know, I'm not even really supposed to be here technically because of how I was brought into the world. But God had a plan, and I just enjoy living out the plan every single day. You know, people say, oh, you should run for office, you know, and you, Jerry, you live down here.
And I'm one of them too, Titus.
Hear people say it all the time, but you know, I have zero political aspirations, you know, because regardless of how great of a person I am or can
now,
be,
you wouldn't change that image of politician. You're just a nice guy, but you're probably too nice a guy to get in that world, Titus.
And Titus, you're smart and honest. You can't be a politician.
No.
The minute I declare that I'm a Democrat or a Republican, you know, I cut off half of my influence, not because of who I am, but just what party I chose. And at the end of the day, I just want to do the work. I think that, you know, two aspects of life that should really be bringing people together are dividing people the most, and that's religion, organized religion, and politics. Those are the two institutions that are supposed to be, you know, in it for changing people's lives and making this world a better place. And they haven't done it, you know, and I'm not a religious person. I'm a man of faith. My faith is in God and Jesus Christ. Somebody else's faith may be in Allah. Another person's faith may be in a spoon or the sun, and that's not going to change how I treat those people. And that, and the reason why I'm that way is because so many people from all different walks of life, gay, straight, black, white, Hispanic, Republican, Democrat, they all had a hand in helping me, Thaddeus Bullard DeMann, become who I am today. And so I will never know how many of those, I never personally meet half of those people that sold into the Boys and Girls Club that I went to or the Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch. I'll never be able to say thank you to all of them because I don't know them. The only thing I can do on a consistent basis is I wake up every morning with a grateful heart, and treat people with dignity and respect, and be very transparent and honest, and be a man of morals and convictions. And I've lost some things because of my convictions. I won't do certain things simply because it's not me, and I'm not afraid of that. My house is paid off. I have, you know, zero debt, and several businesses that have been very successful, and I have some kids and some dogs to keep me happy and healthy. But most importantly, I understand that there are so many things that are out in the world that allow that I'm capable of achieving. And
Titus, let me ask you a question here real quick. I'd hate to get you off here, but when you were at the Florida Boys Ranch, was you aware of the background of that Florida Boys Ranch and the role that Florida Championship Wrestling had in?
Yeah.
I was looking through my desk drawer. I got a picture somewhere in my desk drawer of me with the directors, of the original director there. So we had a really active part of that place there. You want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I do know that the Graham family, Mike Graham, his family had a huge influence on the first class of donors and supporters of the Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch. I knew that in when I was in at the Boys Ranch. There are a lot of pictures of the Graham family around there. I grew up a wrestling fan, watched it, you know, every Saturday and Monday. Got in trouble a lot because my grandmother used to she loved wrestling. Her and my mom used to go back and forth about me allowing me to stay up late during a school night.
Was for you staying up? Was it your mom or your grandma?
My grandmother was letting me stay up.
Of course.
Yeah. On Saturday mornings, we had the option that she got up every Saturday morning. She cooked breakfast like most Saturday mornings now, you know, are about tailgating, getting ready for the football game. No, my grandmother was getting ready for wrestling. she would cook, you know, fish and grits or sausage eggs and biscuits and all that stuff. And you watched He-Man. We watched the Smurfs and then Saturday Morning Slam. She had a screen door and she said, you know, when wrestling comes on, you either in or you out. If I hear my screen door slam one time, I'm gonna put the switch on your ass. And so she was very, 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 very much so a big.
Well, I can tell you were raised right when you brought up the word switch. Not a lot of people switch is.
Yeah.
Us people out in the country, we don't want to switch in, especially when you had to go pick your switch off the willow tree.
Yeah, make sure you got a couple of leaves at the top so it's seamless.
Yeah, you didn't want to get the real thin one because it left mark. The thick one just studded you. It hurt. Titus, when you were at the boys' Boys Ranch, how did you play football? Was it part of the Boys Ranch? Did they have a team, or did you go off to a high school?
No, I went into – so we had school. You can either go to school on campus, or there are a lot of kids that had the opportunity to go to school off campus. So we had a van that took us to and from school. We had an activity bus that took us back to the Boys Ranch as well. So – for those, you know, I went to high school at Suwanee High School. When I went to the Boys Ranch, I was just before my 12th birthday. I was going into ninth grade right before my 13th birthday. And, I was pumping the basketball walking down the hallway, and football coach comes up to me and it's like, you know, he nudges me. He's a big dude to me at the time, nudges me. And he says, what you carrying around that basketball for? I was like, because I like to play basketball. And he was like, well, are you going to play football? And I was like, well, that's fine, but I'm going to still play basketball too. And he was like, well, you ain't going to get no scholarship in basketball. You're going to get a scholarship in football. Wow. And the same dude that told me I hadn't even made a team yet after he tried to run me off, you know. So nobody got cut from our high school team. If you got through two-a-days, actually we had three-a-days one week, and then we had two-a-days another week. If you got through camp, you were on the team, no matter who you are. Plus, it was a small town. We probably had 35 people at the most on our teams, but, you know, we were very, very good at football. We won four state championships in a row. I think we're probably still one of the only high schools in the history of the state of Florida to do that. And we weren't playing against Scrubs. We played against really good schools, and most of the time, if we didn't play, the teams that were not in our district were all 4A, 5A, 6A schools. So we had to go to Tallahassee, and we had to go to Valdosta, Georgia, and Lowndes County, Georgia, and Tifton, Georgia, in order to play competitive football. And he purposely booked that schedule because he wanted us to play against against the best, and he also had a pride. We had a pride in life as a small town that. You know, we're not afraid. You know, our theme song coming out was "A Country Boy Can't Survive." You know, we can skin a buck, run a trot line, but a country boy can't survive. You know, and we all knew and felt we worked like country boys. You know, football was like everything. Then wrestling was also everything. We were very successful in wrestling. I never wrestled in high school. It was too damn hot, and plus I love basketball, so I wanted to play basketball. And 120 in there in the wrestling room, and the guys come out drenched. It was tough, you know.
I know Swanee had some good tough wrestlers up in that area there, because I, you know, being a coach at state tournaments, I'd check them all out. Those country boys, you know, the guy from Tampa hated wrestling those country boys because they were so strong and tough, and just had that mental attitude that's a little bit different. You know, I'm not going down easy if I go down at all. You know,
they're you know, we're accustomed to in the country, we're accustomed to like work. You know. We didn't have any options, you know what I mean? There were no clubs and, you know, the beach or any of that stuff to go out at. We worked, you know, in the off season, we worked. We threw watermelons, we tossed, you know, we built hay, we did all, we worked. And then in the weight room, it was just like, you know, we were just going in there just working.
At the boys' ranch there during summertime when school was out, did you stay at the boys' ranch then, or did you have a summer job off the facility or what?
I actually worked on the ranch, and except like probably 3 weeks during the summer. You know, one of our boosters from the Booster Club, he had a bunch of fields. He had a tobacco field. He had a watermelon field. So we would make. A chance we get up early in the morning at 7 o'clock and toss watermelons till about noon, we were able to make like 150 a day, you know, which for us, you know, that, we were balling. I mean, so
yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, and so
Titus, let me ask you a question, because I grew up working on a ranch. We tossed hay, which was different because you load, just throw it up on the truck, somebody loads it. When you're tossing melons, are you does somebody catching them? Because I've never done that.
Yeah, so you're in a field, and it's usually there's assembly line. So they all bumper, and the bumper is the guy that's right by the trailer, because we load up, pull out, and the bumper would always have to be the one, you know, that loads it up to the guys up in the truck. And little did I know, like, you know, because I'm new to it, everything this and that. It's like, yeah, man, you're gonna be the bumper. That's the best part on it. That was the worst part, you know, because if you feel like. You might get a watermelon, you know, here and there, depending on where you are in the line. But if you're the bumper, you're getting every one from each direction that's coming on. You got like six guys in the truck. You got two bumpers, me and another guy, and we're just, you know, working the left and the right and right, left and the right. Salt packets.
Work on your hand and eye coordination, though. Like
grip strength, and we had to have a lot of salt packets. We used to go to Hardee's first thing in the morning and get chicken biscuits or sausage biscuits, and I'd take a whole bunch of salt packets. And some of them guys would have dipping tobacco out there, and it's, you know, 100 and something degrees, and they just would dip in their mouth. I tried dip one time, and I felt like I was going to heaven, like right out of I was dizzy, I was sick, I started throwing up, and I just put it in my mouth, and I just got lightheaded, and so yeah, this is definitely not for me.
Titus, you mentioned your family, all the success they had going to high school, going to college. Your mother was a kid when she had you, and even for most of your childhood, she was still a child pretty much herself. She must have been a special lady, though, to have that much success, and because there's no way you can be prepared at such a young age to have a child like that.
Yeah, well, my mom was also very stubborn, which is something that runs in our family. You're not going to tell her what you can't do and what can't be done. And, you know, the decision that she made for me, or to have me, was very difficult. I didn't find out how I was conceived until I was 17 years old. I was doing really well at the Florida Shares Boys Ranch. And my mom, you know, at the Boys Ranch, you didn't really have much interaction with your family until you went and visited home. And they purposely did that because while they were working on you at the ranch, there was a counselor working on your parent or your, you know, back at home to kind of, you know, help them along the way. And my mom had a hell of a village. You know, she had a lot of people from various walks of life that helped her with us, you know. We lived in government housing, we lived in the projects, you know, and didn't have much for money. But my mom always was one that gave, you know. If she couldn't, you know, she couldn't pay, you know, for certain things, she would bake pies, sweet potato pies. She definitely still makes one of the best sweet potato pies you've ever eaten in your life. But she always gave, even when she didn't have. There were other single mothers that were around that she would like share food stamps with. You know, if they didn't have certain things, you know, they could come over to the house, let the kids eat and stuff like that. So I really believe that my mom just being a really, really giving, didn't have much to give, opened the people, you know, eyes and just realized she is a very special woman for a multitude of reasons. And dealing with the trauma, you know, that she still, you know, is dealing with today. My mom never walked across the high school graduation stage. You know, she never went to a prom. You know, she never went, you know, on her first date, you know, or any of that stuff until years, years later, just because of the trauma. And so when people ask me, you know, who's my ultimate hero, it would be my mom. I wouldn't be here without her making the decision that she made at a very, very young age. I look at my kids and where they were when they were 10 or 11 years old, and like to, you know,
yeah,
go through what she went through and, you know, have three, four boys be college graduates, no college debt, you know, all, you know, very, very much so contributing to society in a positive way. None of us ever went to jail. None of us were ever on drugs. And growing up where we grew up at, I was like really, literally the only option is to be surprised if you didn't have a record. Or you didn't work, you know, on drugs or selling drugs. So my mom is much like a lot of mothers out there, you know, single mothers especially. She's just a very special woman. I'm very grateful to be able to still see her and talk to her today. She's still alive and, you know, and doing everything she can. Enjoy this thing for her life. She has some health issues. You know, some of those are self-inflicted because she won't work out and she won't eat well. But at the end of the day, you know, I can still pick up my phone and call my mom. And there are a lot of people that, you know, unfortunately don't have that opportunity to do so for various reasons.
Did she ever discuss with you her reason? I know her reasons. She wanted to have you. But did she ever discuss with you, like, in any length or anything about that time that she decided to jump out of the car and say, I want to have this child?
I think my mom was just like terrified of like what she thought of me, you know? And my mom felt I was special and that I deserved to be here. You know, and I asked my mom, you know, several times, you know, what made you make it? And she said, always knew that, you know, even how out, like, you're special. My name, how I'm named, you know, name is in the Bible. One of the chosen 12 disciples, you know, Michael, my middle name, was like God. My last name is Bullard. You know, first four letters of, you know, Bullard is bull, you know, strong. And I'm a Taurus, you know, born in April. And so everything about, you know, my mom's explanation, you know, I didn't know that right out of the gate, but I've had an opportunity to live it out and realize, like, yeah, my mom, my grandmother too, saw stuff that I you know, I couldn't imagine someone at that time, at that age.
Right. And when she ended up telling you the whole story, you were 17 at the time. I mean, that had to be really cool, but it almost seems like it's also a burden because you realize this person did a lot for me. I got to do a lot in life. You know,
me and my mom had a very tumultuous relationship prior to that conversation. Like I hated my mom, legit hated my mom. And when my mom told me how I was conceived, every ounce of hate that I had is like turning heel to babyface. Like all the hate that I had towards my mom and the anger and everything else instantly turned into love because I realized at that time that my mom was a kid to raise kids. And, you know, I asked her if she knew the person, you know, did this. And she said, yeah. I said, you know, do you know where he is? Well, she asked me, you know, do you want to meet him? And I said, absolutely not. I'd probably kill him. And I haven't looked for him. You know, there are some people that, you know, don't grow up with their father. They feel like there's an emptiness there and this and that. And there was for quite some time. But I had, you know, Mr. Blaylock, who I talk about in my book. You know, there's no such thing as a bad kid. He's the first person, he's the first African-American superintendent of the school to be elected in two different counties. You know, everything that he did for me, you know, taking me in. I stayed with him my last year, you know, at the Boys Ranch. You know, they allowed me to live off campus, still be a part of the program. But everything he did, you know, I wanted to do. He became a member of Omega Incorporated, you know, Bill O'Neill, Ray Lewis, Michael Jordan, goes on and on, and I'm in that fraternity as well. I wanted to do that because he went to the University of Florida. I wanted to do that, you know, because he did, you know. Great, he's a great role model for so many different people, and he stood convictions, you know, where he ran, he had to run for office, you know, for the president of the schools. And, you know, I sat at tables at restaurants where white men would come up and say, hey, you know, Charlie, we're going to support you, you know, we're rooting for you. I'm going to slide him a check and say, you know, just don't take anybody where you got that from. And then he would slide back and say, you know, well, I appreciate the gesture, but if your support is not open, not support. You know, so he took money, you know, he made be held accountable for morals. And you feel like this is the right thing, doing the right thing, then share that with people. And if you don't think it's the right thing, then don't do it for me, do it for
somebody else. So Titus, as you were coming up and you were starting to excel in football, did you have a little brothers? And you said you had some brothers at the time, or?
Say that again.
When you were becoming a high school football star, did you have little brothers were you close to your brothers at all?
I was close to my brothers. I mean, obviously with the distance, about 5.5 hours apart for a drive. And I only went home a few times a year. And it was very short stay. But you know, when I got told that I may have to go back to the Boys Ranch. I may go back home to get kicked off. You know, at that time, my mom and brother, they were living in a two-bedroom apartment. It's like, where am I going to sleep, you know? And
Was there a time where you wanted to be with your brothers and your family and away from that?
There were times very early on at the Boys Ranch, just because I was only one of, like, three black kids on the campus. I had to call a white woman and a white man mom and pop. You know, I didn't even have a pop or dad at home. So that was really a big adjustment for me. Not because of the race, but just because I didn't have anyone to relate to me, you know, relate to where I was coming from. I didn't feel like they would understand. And once I realized that, you know, these people are here to help. The conversation that was had at 12 years old, you know, he's Mr. Pat Minogue, white guy from Chicago, that loved the Bulls. I love the Bulls because of Michael Jordan. And he called me into the office and said, why do you think you get into trouble all the time? And I had my head down because I was getting ready to get kicked off. I said, I don't know, man. I'm just a bad kid. And he said, lift your head up. He said, there's no such thing as a bad kid. And I said, how can you say that? You know, I told I'll be dead or in jail by the time I'm getting ready to get kicked off the ranch. You know, I told I'll never graduate from high school. The list goes on and on. And he said, well, I'm not going to say that because I truly believe in my heart. Answer out for yourself. I'm going to a lot of people off because I'm not going to stay home, even though the decision was made that you would be going back home. But I'm going to tell you something and I want you to believe it. He said, I love you. I believe in you. Now, a lot of people have told me that they love me, but then turn around and abuse me, beat me, curse me, etc. But nobody had ever told me to believe that I can do anything. It was always the opposite, the things that I can't do, the things that I won't do. And again, I've always had a rebellious spirit. So at that point, I realized I need to start believing in myself, you know. And slowly but surely, I started achieving little things that people tell me that I wouldn't do. And then it became habit. And now, you know, at 45 years old, there's nothing that anybody can look at that can't be done. You know, we're here, live here in Tampa. I remember the first time I gave away 10,000 gifts at Raymond James Stadium. They looked at me like I had five heads. One, because I said I wanted to do it, and it was October, and I hadn't even booked the stadium yet. And two, because it had never been done. And, you know, I just truly believe that when I feel and think something in my mind, my heart, like, I'll get it done. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, 13 years and running, you know, we have a big event at Raymond James Stadium. We got bigger and bigger each year. We're in the city of Georgia. Now we just started off our campaign, a partner with Metropolitan, which you're very aware of. We're going to reach 37 families in seven different counties or Tampa Bay area, with food and clothing and toys and rental assistance with hotel stays, especially with those from, down in our neighborhood down in Lee County, affected by Hurricane Ian, displaced. We're trying to work with. There were folks that were already in destitute situations prior to the hurricane, but it just got wiped out afterwards. So we're trying to help there, working with the law enforcement agencies down to just try to continue to build people up and just still do the same thing. There's nothing in this world, in my opinion, with the right people, the right time, opportunity. I've seen way too much success at saying we're going to do this. We got a school, a public school named here in Tampa.
I want to ask you about that because you're a kid who grew up and thought you wouldn't even graduate high school, dead or in jail at, by the age of 30. You've got a school named after you. Now, I know you're not one to pat yourself on the back. But that's got to be pretty cool to drive by and see your name on a school.
Yeah, not just drive by it, be at it, walk the campus, put it up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go and work out. You know, I built a really first-class gym there for teachers to work out there. We're in the process of building out a robotics lab and a mental health and wellness space and a TV and production studio. And this is a sixth through eighth grade school, but it's more or less what we're putting there and more about what's happening there. You know, I put the school on a house system 3.5 years ago, similar to, you know, there's a school in Atlanta, Ron Clark Academy. I sent all the administrators up there. His on the word based on character. Mine is based on the word pride, which is what I want people to have. And it's the city living in poverty in the border, and went there to give kids birthday parties that couldn't afford to have birthday parties because I never had a birthday party as a kid. That morphed into a character program where I started honoring kids that had academic success, improvement, perfect attendance, and then had a meeting with the school district here. Said, I want to try this, you know, this system and see if we can change the F school for years, the bad school. I was once known as a bad kid, so the same kids that we work on a consistent basis are labeled the same way that I was labeled. And through work, we graded from an F to a C plus, you know, 67-point increase, the highest in all of the entire Hillsborough County schools. And just kept building. We got a first-class field there. We have a first-class gymnasium. We were the last school in the district gym. We were the last school in the gymnasium. Getting ready to build a street there, prosperity center on campus, which will help the neighboring school, people in that zip code with everything from legal aid to Bay Area Legal. We have a partnership with them. We everything except for criminals, so tenant issues, land tax issues, whatever, they can come there. We have a culinary program that pay them a livable wage. They come there for 12 weeks. I work 4 days a week now, three in school. and then we place them in profitable jobs. We have a financial literacy program, Suncoast Credit Union, which is the largest credit union in the state of Florida. Each one of the people that participate get their own personal financial literacy coach to meet with several times a month. Once they save $1,000, our foundation matches it $2,000 if they need adequate transportation. We end up helping them get a new car. And then hopefully they stay in financial literacy course and working with that coach, bring them into self-sufficiency. Hopefully they'll become first home too. The list goes so much, but it's not just at that school. I've helped so many in the school district, which is why I'm honored with that title of having a next school named after me. I've literally done so much for so many kids, students, and teachers in the district for years. And I never expected in a million years that I was able to kid that would be dead in jail by the time he was 16. To have you drive down South High Avenue and 22nd, Thaddeus and Bullard Academy at Sly Middle Magnet School.
Wow. Titus, what is your goal? You've done so much stuff and you've done so many great things. What is your end game? Do you have one? Are you just going to keep building what you're building, which is remarkable, and you're changing lives and saving lives, which is incredible. But do you want to do something? You want to expand this? You want to replicate this? What is your goal, say, for 5-10 years from now?
From a foundation standpoint and philanthropic standpoint, yeah, we want to continue on this model so that athletes, entertainers, men and women can duplicate this in other destitute areas. We want to build a model this, and we can literally show from a personal standpoint. I'm investing in a lot of stuff. I have a restaurant group here that we have two new restaurants opening up. I hope Mr. Briscoe hit up for Beachy Park, which is one of our concepts. We're opening up Boulogne in late December, and then in early February, we're opening up Union Restaurant as well over by the airport. I'm invested in the new age version of technology. It's a replacement green screen technology. Watch Mandalorian or Star Wars or any of those Disney movies. Actually, WWE is used here in Tampa, but we just built another Las Vegas. We have one in Nashville and partnered with many people. We just opened up one in Orlando, and soon we have at WWE headquarters up in Stamford, Connecticut. So really excited about. I have a water filter company. Done very well. We order commercial and residential homes. And I enjoy watching grow. My personal goal is to continue to be in film. I'm on my way. I have a couple of opportunities that hopefully I'll Hollywood and doing some really cool stuff on television and working in that space. One of my best friends, Dave, obviously Dwayne Rock Johnson. Well, John Cena's done well, so hopefully I'll get a chance to go out there and bust my break out my acting chops and do well in that space too. Been on Good Morning America several times this year, so who knows? I might be coming from my straight job as an anchor there. I really enjoy working with the Good Morning America production crew. Obviously, I really truly enjoy my position here in WWE as a global ambassador and continue to go out and legacies and help set legacies with my fellow WWE female and male superstars and represent a company that really on the path to continue to change and continue to grow in so many different ways. I definitely would like to be opposite JBL with him and Corbin and me and me managing.
I hope you don't think that I'm getting in the ring.
No. We both are in, kind of in that same space where, I'll get physical if I need to, but I'd much rather be the one that kind of calms your heat down because you have been TV. It's been between you and Sami Zayn being on television, man, it's been so entertaining, and very happy to see you back doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I've always had fun working with you. We've had so much fun. We had fun on YouTube. We've had fun a lot of different places. The problem is now, if I took a bump for you, I could take a bump. I just couldn't get up.
Tom would be over with, for sure.
Yeah, he'd be done. But you're a great bump. Is he dead? We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun on YouTube. We had a lot of fun everywhere. We had some good times.
Yes, sir. Commentary, you know.
Absolutely.
Infamous vomit, you know, on Thanksgiving.
That's right, on Michael Cole.
Yeah, yes, sir. your $7,000 hat.
That's right. You got me, you threw up in my hat, you threw up on Cole. Which I didn't mind at all, you throwing up on Michael Cole. The hat, yeah, the hat bothered me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% know it, it would have bothered me too.
Hi, Thomas. How can the folks listen to reach out to your foundation and help you attain your goal? Do you have all your websites, your social media pages? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, they can go to BullardFamilyFoundation.org, BullardFamilyFoundation.org, FamilyFoundation.org. They can also follow us on all platforms, social media, on Twitter and Instagram at BFFTampa. And they can go to our website and figure out ways they can get involved. They can donate, things that we have upcoming, and see what we're doing and what we've been doing and what's to come.
Great. Well, I know with Thanksgiving coming up, you're so involved with Metropolitan Ministries, which is a wonderful organization that's really met the test of time. And all you got to do, if you're around here in Tampa and you want to make contributions, just go downtown and see a big white tent over the side of town there. And that's the Metropolitan Ministries.
Yes, sir.
You can
sir.
Drop all food supply there for Thanksgiving. You can go help me out there, Titus. Philly Fisher.
Oh, yeah. Metropolitan Ministries is a great partner of mine, not just during the holiday season, but throughout the year. I don't have a huge staff with my foundation, so I partner with them because they have the infrastructure. Yeah, I can garner the resources and help raise funds and money. But at the end of the day, I need, you know, volunteers and staff that can help facilitate the mission, whatever that mission is at the time. You know, we have over 30 partners this year, which we didn't have last year, 30 partners throughout not only the Tampa Bay area, but stretching all the way down to Lee County that are drop-off points, pick-up points, et cetera. We have 17 other agencies that are working alongside us that they'll be, you know, starting in Thanksgiving. They'll be able to come. You know, I've been starting my Thanksgiving morning every morning for the past 14 years at Metropolitan Ministries at 5 a.m. in the morning, helping put together meals so that we can ship out at minimum 3,000 meals, hot meals, to various locations throughout the Tampa Bay area. So we'll be doing that again this year. We'll look to hopefully have about 4,500 hot meals that we can deliver with our partner agencies. And so if you're interested in joining that mission, and I tell people all the time, if you can't do it now, whenever you get into a position to do it, just do it. If you can't give money, give your time. If you can't give time, give your resources, whatever those resources may be. Some people don't even know where to start, you know, when it comes to giving back. I always tell people, just start with something simple that you know for a fact that you can do. Buy somebody a cup of coffee, you know, buy somebody a slice of pizza, you know, have a conversation with somebody that may be out. You know, you'll learn so much. And the great thing that I've really enjoyed about being a part of WWE is being able to travel all over the world and learn and grow from so many different people, cultures, etc. And I love, you know, obviously living in the United States of America, we get a lot of stuff right, but we get a lot of stuff wrong, and a lot of stuff wrong that they don't get wrong in other places. Mass shootings don't happen in other places, you know, in schools. You know, I go to places like Saudi Arabia or Japan and China, you don't see homelessness. Because the government doesn't want that. It's about respecting and taking care of the people. And that's what I hope that we can get to one day. And if don't rely on the government to do it, don't rely on some of the larger agencies sometimes to do it. You got to rely on each other to do it, because when we have a hurricane hit or a tropical storm hit, people from all walks of life come out of the woodwork to give clothes, to give water, to give electricity. Your neighbors, my neighbors, you know, all of us, my neighbors around me, they're helping. I don't like, I could never be great in ladder match because I don't like getting 3 feet off the ground at all. So having my neighbors come and help me put my shutters up, hurricane shutters up and stuff like that. And they go and they do it at everyone's house. And I have neighbors from all different walks of life. And it's not about what color we are, what race we are, what sexual orientation. It's about good people helping other good people. And if we want to be the greatest country in the world, we truly need to start by being the greatest people in the world. And that starts with each and every single one of us. We have that opportunity to wake up and make a decision to be a great human being to our fellow man or woman. That's my mission, you know. As long as I live, because I do realize how very fortunate I am to be in the position that I am financially, to be in the position that I am physically, spiritually, emotionally. It's a blessing, man. It really is to live this life, you know, not perfect, but in the perfect will of God. God had a plan, and I didn't understand it. And none of us understand it sometimes with some of the health issues we may have. Mr. Briscoe coughs right into the television, you know.
Well, he's 130. He does that.
But we are very fortunate. You know, a lot of stuff can happen to us, very hurtful, and life and death happens and life situations happen. But at the end of the day, we're still standing. And it could be worse.
Yeah. Todd, I've loved, since I've known you, getting to see what all you've done. It's not just good for the business. It's an inspiration to anybody who wants a better place to go. And I agree with you. It's not about the government doing stuff. It's about us doing stuff. And you're not preaching that. You're living that. And that living that you're doing is a sermon. And it's been so much fun to watch. I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad to know you. And I know you're incredibly busy. So thank you for taking so much of your time tonight to be here with me and Mr. Briscoe while he's coughing and hopefully not die.
Well, John, I want to jump in there and just tie to Titus, you know, being in the same town, you know, we're blessed because Tampa's a wrestling town. A lot of people. You wake up in the mornings, and a lot of time there's not positive news. You know, some of our brothers and sisters out here in the business don't lead the life that you lead there. But when I wake up in the morning, I see an article in the paper about professional wrestling, you're named on it. I know it's going to bring a smile on my face. I'm extremely proud to live in the same neighborhood as you. I'm extremely proud to live in the same community as you. Tampa Bay is blessed to have Titus Boulder in our community, and you're one of the truly nice guys of our business. We really appreciate you being on our show tonight. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, man. From two Hall of Famers and a half a Hall of Famer, I appreciate it.